Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
To Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. Happy Chinese New Year! Gong Xi Fa Tai!
Gong Hei Fa Tai!
Okay, that's the Cantonese version, and mine was the Mandarin version. This is Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's, where they do not have a Chinese New Year special, but that's all right. We'll have to talk about how to cook it. Today's guest is Donnie Tang.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Johnny is actually a food photographer, and he has a series of local Brooklyn or New York City-related food artisans called Foodisance.
Yes.
Like Renaissance.
Yeah, yeah. My friend came up, like I was coming up with a name for it. My friend's like, why don't you just call it Food and Asan? I'm like, it's sort of, you know, you kind of know it right away what it is about.
Yeah, because you're trying to, it sounds like it's sort of saying that we're undergoing, I don't know what I mean by we, but like society is undergoing a foodisance.
It is, and especially in Brooklyn too. It's okay. Such a huge thing. But eventually I want to do it in other cities as well. Like okay. I did one in Seattle at this sort of like oyster bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to eat a lot of oysters afterwards, so it's good.
Yeah, because it's not limited to just, you know, the name is not just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's good to sort of...
Totally. Out, yeah. Totally. So that's being shown right now at Powerhouse Arena Bookstore in Dumbo. It's awesome. Or not like that, but it's part of
it. It's part of it, but yeah. It's also a group show with other food photographers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's a really cool show.
Yeah, yeah, it's a... There's such a wide range. There's some serious, and then there's mine. You know, it's kind of.
How is yours different?
Mine was there were some that are like super stylized, like super artsy.
Oh, okay.
There's like this lady stuffing eggs into her face.
Whoa!
And then there's like other eggs flying around. So it was like very
high concept.
Yeah, okay. And then mine is just like
realism.
Someone pouring soup.
Mm-hmm.
At Polly G's Kitchen and sort of...
So that's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the other ones that you have?
The other one... It's just two images. The other one is in the kitchen at Allswell with Nate Smith.
Great.
And
great.
The other one is Seabing Goods.
Is there anywhere you haven't shot photography yet? Well, I know it's pretty impossible to cover everything, but I mean, what's on your wish list right now to shoot?
Well, the one I just told you about, Melissa here, the bread baker at Roberta's.
Okay.
Because I think that's kind of interesting because she makes her bread out in the giant crate in the backyard. So it would be nice to... And she starts at 4 in the morning. So I'd like to get some more of those early crazy hours.
It's kind of telling though that people are kind of creating... I'm thinking of this weird like oven that's in the backyard here at Roberta's. That's their bread oven and it's built... You know, by the folks here, out of what is it, stone or brick or something?
That's true. Actually,
it just kind of just like you know created in this space to serve this purpose, and I think that's you know it's just sort of telling everyone has these really unique setups where
right, and then it's
carve it out.
The great
yourself.
Thing about Brooklyn is sort of like I'm just gonna make this with this, you know, it's gonna work. And
cool. Well, thanks for capturing that in the moment, and you know, as it's happening, the foodisance.
Yeah, and Catherine so Irwin was one of my part of our project.
That's right. Where are my photos? How come they're not on display?
Well, yeah,
that's all right.
Because there was a theme going on. Because then
it was a summery theme too.
It was a summer theme.
There's photos of the roof garden at Six Point and cooking with that stuff.
Yeah,
in one day, that was fun. So just to change subject a tiny bit, because it is Chinese New Year, and we didn't really realize this until maybe after scheduling today's interview, but Donnie happens to be Chinese-American, and I'm half Chinese-American, so...
Oh, can I was wondering, okay. What's your other half?
My other half is American.
Okay.
For like, it's a, you know, a mixed bag, but yeah. So what are some of the traditional foods that you grew up with on New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
Oh, New Year's Day, sorry.
Because New Year's Eve, it's sort of more like a family get-together dinner. And New Year's Day, I remember my mom used to buy these sort of very stretchy, glutinous cake. It's sort of like...
Yanggiao, yeah.
Yeah. And then she fry them up in like eggs or something.
Okay.
And I remember not liking them at all, right. Just because the texture...
The texture is really the selling point and also the breaking point for many.
Because I usually just peel the eggs off and just eat the egg.
Oh. Yeah, I never put eggs in them.
Really?
But stir-fried up. So this is a very strange glutinous rice cake that you slice up and stir-fry.
Yeah.
It's a textural difference that you know, I hear the word gummy and...
it's gummy.
Being referred to as undesirable in most cases in American cuisine, or, you know, it's an off result, you know, effect. I don't know.
And the other thing she makes is the... Not make, but she buys... is the turnip cake, which you usually can get at dim sum.
Right.
But that's sort of when you usually eat it.
On Chinese New Year?
On Chinese New Year, yeah, I think.
Okay. I love that stuff too. Lobo gao. Okay, so what are you looking forward to cooking tonight?
Not sure. Dumplings? Well, I got invited to my friend's having a dumpling party.
It's always a good thing to do.
It's always, yeah.
Even if it's not Chinese here.
Yeah. And then I think we're just going to do like more like potluck style. So I'm actually going to find turnip cake and just fry them at her place.
Nice.
And yeah, have a big Chinese food feast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like kind of the grown-up version of the New Year's. Go to a friend's house and eat a lot of dumplings.
Yes. Yeah.
So I mean, what do you think about you know, being a grown up, I guess, celebrating Chinese New Year with friends instead of family? Is it something that because it's the biggest holiday of the year, you know, for it's like the Christmas in the Chinese
it's
culture.
My parents aren't very into Western holidays.
Oh.
So but then the one big thing is Chinese New Year. And usually I go home, but then not this time. But my mom would actually cook a whole
feast
with like, I think eight or nine. You have to be, there's like a certain number of dishes that you have to make.
Eight.
To be good luck.
Yeah, eight is the thing.
Right. I think eight or nine actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then each dish has like a specific name to sort of like.
Symbolic.
Yeah,
meaning.
Symbolic. And then like that's like, yeah, there are certain dishes where it only shows up today. and then it's like, you know, long noodles or those
for long life.
Yeah, for long life. Or that hair, like the fungus that looks like a hair, fa choy.
What?
I don't know what that is. You never had it? Like they're like fungus that grows out from the ground and it looks
that's
like hair.
Hairy?
Yeah, no, they're not hairy. It looks like hair.
Oh,
they
not
sell them in Chinatown
woodier.
Bags.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Peculiar.
You should go find some in Chinatown.
So maybe you're not going to have good luck this year if you don't have this eight course meal?
Probably, yeah. Dang it. No, I'll probably eat eight things tonight.
Yeah, right. Now that I mentioned that.
I'm just going to eat eight of everything tonight.
Okay. So that'll be good luck.
Yeah. I'm going to have eight pizzas here.
I take it you're not very superstitious.
I'm not. Yeah.
Skipped the generation a bit.
Yeah, not very.
And what is your favorite? Do you have any favorite like Chinese places to eat in the city? Or?
Oh, there is a hole in the wall. I think there's a, it's called number one. It's just sort of like a Cantonese style Western cafe that's sort of in the alley between Elizabeth and Bowery.
Okay.
And they're open till 8. So you sort of have to get there.
Is that good luck?
Yes.
If you go there. No, wait. They'll close.
They close it. But it's not like good. I mean, it's good food, but it's not like the best of or great. They just kind of like... also, the atmosphere is always like not too crowded. The service is okay, you know, Chinatown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's sort of... I grew up in LA eating... sort of like West, they have like a lot of Western style Chinese food in LA,
mm-hmm.
like cafes and stuff. And it's, I realized that there aren't that much here.
Mm-hmm.
When I found this, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I can eat like spam with macaroni with a fried egg.
Oh wow,
that's the thing that I grew up with.
I see. So it was like the Cantonese like fusion kind of
stuff. Yeah. So yeah, that's what they do there, and it's, you know, it's cheap and it's good. So. Right.
Interesting. Is there? It sounds like you would be a bona fide expert on eating in restaurants in New York or like Brooklyn or, you know, food.
I guess.
Okay. What do you think is like the biggest difference between? You know, setting out to eat a Chinese meal and like you have totally different expectations from restaurants if you go to a non-Chinese place.
Well, I always tell my friends that if it's not dirty,
okay,
Chinese restaurants, yeah, if it's not dirty, it's not good. Which is true, like, you know, crap.
It sounds like it would be the opposite for anywhere else.
Yeah, like it has to be big giant plates.
Wow.
Cheap, bad services.
But therein lies the problem of bringing other people there, because, you know, people don't like dirt.
That is true. So then I just go by myself or find other like-minded.
So you kind of mean that if the restaurant doesn't care about its appearance and its service, then they're probably focusing on having the best food.
I'm not saying this... but maybe, I don't know, it just sort of makes me feel like, also maybe because I think I don't really like super fancy restaurants.
Okay.
And I just want to go in and have a good meal. And, you know, maybe it may be crappy looking, but sometimes that's all
right. Right.
It's
not fake or something.
Yeah.
You're not pretending to, trying too hard.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. It worries me that you feel that way. Okay. Maybe you should start another project and shoot the dirtiest
one. Well, no. And then they get shut down by the Department of Health then. If they, yeah. Because, you know,
I got to say that, you know, looking at your food photography, those places don't look too dirty that you shoot. They look pretty nice. And everyone looks
it's
happy
a lot of,
and
yeah,
passionate.
Well, I'm not, yeah. They're mostly in the industrial kitchens, though, the ones I shoot.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
Don't really eat,
yeah, places like the artisans, like the cupcake and the Robicelli. Yeah. Okay, cool. What was your favorite trip going to shoot for Food Essence?
Besides shooting at Six Point?
Yeah, besides my photo shoot.
It was probably Eastern District, my friends Beth and Chris's place out in Greenpoint. Just because it's their first. So basically, they dropped everything and they're like, "Oh, we're just gonna you know, open a store in Greenpoint
because
that's their passion."
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I went and actually took pictures of them sort of starting out,
mm-hmm.
and sort of that was exciting for them and for me, because so it's just like, you know, their dreams are like coming true in Brooklyn, and like they live a few blocks from.
From you?
From their store.
Place,
so it's like, that's perfect. You know, you wake up, you walk to work, and then you walk home, and it's just like, and they, you know, and they're doing what they want.
Wow.
So yeah, that was exciting.
Cool. Well, definitely check those out. I know you picked a song to put on in the intermission.
Yes.
What is it again? Dawes.
Dawes, How Far We Have Come.
Okay, we'll be right back with Donnie Tang right after the break.
We'll be right back. on me. Be the same to rise tomorrow to see how far I've come. These are the days we've sworn upon. So come and keep the TV on to see how far we've come.
On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
To see how far he's come.
Hey, we're back on Let's Eat In with Donnie Ting, today's guest. Hey. So Donnie's been shooting up a storm of foodissance photos on the series. And this is a series, let me get this straight, that is pretty much going on. It's an ongoing thing that you post on your photography website.
Yeah. So it's like people, sort of doing, you know, making food by hand, like the old sort of old school style,
mm-hmm.
not like machines and stuff, and you know, just showing how much work it actually takes to mm-hmm. make all these food and like all the hours they spend and like all the things that you usually don't. See
it behind the scenes.
Yeah. And like they actually have to deal with insurance and them being sick, then they have to ask somebody else to step in.
Ooh.
And all that stuff. It's just cool. Like, you know, it's interesting. And it's, you know, it could be me next year, you know, doing the same thing because I was, you know, maybe I might have found something interesting and started cooking and started making.
That's true. There's a lot of career changers in this field. So, and I know that now you've gotten shows, like you had a solo show at the James Beard House, which is awesome. But at first you were just kind of just posting them online, and I see a lot of other people doing this. Can anyone just pick up a camera, a good camera, and just start their own photo series? And
I think the biggest thing is like when people ask me about photography is like, you have to love what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love going into people's restaurants' kitchens and just shoot, because that's, I think, more interesting than the plate of food that you end up with.
So there's a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
And people and skills.
Yeah. And I try to stay in touch with those chefs and artisans just because, you know, I love what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you like what you do, what you shoot, then it's sort of just, you know, it's sort of natural that, you know, people will sort of drawn to your project.
Yeah, I see. That's true. So you're doing a book now with a upcoming cookbook by Blondie and Brownie.
Yes,
the blog.
They're writing about New York street food.
Cool.
I'm helping out with photos.
Cool. And are these mostly like on the scene photos or also plated food photos?
You know, I have no idea. It's
okay.
I think, well, there's going to be like recipes from the trucks, and so I think it's going
to
be pictures.
Interesting to capture inside a truck.
Yeah.
How do you like? Do you use a fast motion lens usually when you're out, like, or when you shoot these folks kneading and mixing and pouring stuff? Is there any tricks to grab really good motion, like in the motion shots? I'm terrible at that. They always come out blurry.
I feel like the more you shoot, the more you sort of know when to expect things,
mm-hmm.
and then you sort of know where you're supposed to stand in a way. It's because you shoot so much, and then like I used
should
to shoot.
Should the light be behind me or in front of me or?
Well, I guess that's. It all depends. I guess it depends what you're trying to convey or your style. Like I know, so I have another blog where I actually interview other food photographers, And it's just interesting to see how they feel about their photography, because sometimes they, you know, I've interviewed someone with food photos where it's just all white background.
Oh,
and, you know, cool. And then there's another food photographer where it's all black background. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that's like, oh, there's too much shadow. It's too much. It's too dark. But then for him, it's like it's a, you know, it's a style. That's what he does. So it depends.
Okay. One quick question: do you shoot like just multiple shots while somebody is pouring or kneading to get like?
Yeah. Like if there is certain if person is doing something,
and then you just pick from the
pile. I mean, like, because sometimes your first shot isn't that great. Okay. Or you think it's great, but then when you go and go back to your computer, it's like, that's boring. So yeah, you would want to shoot a couple more extras in case.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about digital too.
I gotta get one of those better cameras, I guess. And what is the name of this blog that you interview photographers on?
Great Food Photos.
Okay. That's easy enough. Check it out. I'll have to check it out too. And so now we have my favorite question of the day. what is the ultimate romantic date meal?
Oh, wait, romantic what?
Date meal.
Date meal. I was asked this question last year.
Oh, yeah, because you're on the Valentine's Day show with Nicole Taylor. Okay.
Yeah, I picked shabu shabu.
Shabu shabu.
Yeah, that's fun. This because it's in a way it's intimate, because you actually
it's hot pot where you have to cook.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the sort of the interaction where you cook your food,
mm-hmm. you eat from the same bowl or whatever,
and it's, you know, you usually eat it in wintertime so that your home would be nice.
But what
and
if your
hot,
date is in the summer?
Let me see.
Okay.
Ice cream at the Biggie ice cream shop.
Oh, nice. All right. So, would you ever do shabu shabu at home?
Oh, that's what. Yeah, I always do.
That's what
do.
You mean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because it's just more fun.
Yeah. So, do you have to have one of those plug-in woks that just kind of keeps it bubbling at the table?
Well, I do it the sort of the old school way. I bought a portable burner with those gas tank.
Oh, I see. You put that right on the table.
Yeah. And I have a pot. The pot that I bought has a divider that goes in the middle, so you can do two.
That's the right way to do it. Yeah.
Because, you know, you do plain and spicy.
Two different broths.
Yeah.
Nice. I got to get one of those. My friends wanted to do a hot pot party for New Year's, and so I only have one kind of big pot.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be good to separate. Okay. And and anything goes, just keep throwing more stuff in there in the pot.
Pretty much anything goes.
A good variety.
Dumplings, beef, pork, chicken, get them really thin so they cook faster.
And how do you slice them really thin?
Well, I cheat by going to they sell packs already for you.
Really thinly
so
sliced.
Yeah. So it says hot pot beef.
Okay.
So you just buy a pack.
All right. Where's your favorite place to shop in Chinatown for this?
Probably the Hong Kong supermarket.
On Elizabeth and, I don't know, between...
Hester.
Yeah, that place is enormous.
Yes, they renovated a couple months ago.
Well, it definitely fits the... this place is enormous. It's like a big supermarket where you have everything. But it definitely fits, to me, the definition of a good restaurant to Donnie, because it's kind of dirty.
Yeah. And don't go today because it'd be super packed.
Oh.
Because everyone's like just going there.
Everyone's pushing
and
to get their stuff. All right. So Happy New Year. It is the Year of the Dragon. And is there anything that you know of? Because everyone's asking me this. Last year or 1 year it was a rabbit, so let's cook rabbit. And there's this kind of like fun little plant. Like when it was ox, I made ox dumplings,
right?
Oxtail or whatever. Any dragon related?
I don't
foods?
Know. It's the one mythical.
It's the only non-real animal.
So I think it's the one year that you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Right,
invent
yeah
your own mythical dish.
Mythical dish.
Is it a good year for us, do you think?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know. My mom knows these things, so okay. She would usually tell me, "Oh, you have to go to the temple and do something." So I have to go and do something.
I hear it's a very lucky year, and for some reason, from some superstitions, and even in China, a lot of people wait to have their babies so that, or they time it so that they can have a baby on this year because it's very lucky. So
yeah, there's
so if you're expect or want to have a baby in the next 9 months or so, hurry
do
up.
It now. Do it today.
But yeah, I'm clearly not an expert on this. Only on food. Well, or not even that much.
You know, yeah. Well, I don't want to say that, but when people ask me about Chinese food, like, I don't know. I kind of grew up with what my mom makes. And
right. It's
she,
a home.
Yeah. She does whatever she wants.
Cool.
And since we're from Hong Kong, we got a lot of like Western influences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, We eat a lot of spam over eggs. Spam and eggs over rice.
Do you make that sometimes too?
Yeah, that's my lazy meal. That's her lazy meal.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't want to cook, but she has to. Like
fried egg, spam.
And over rice. With a little bit Maggi seasoning.
Oh, the Maggi stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that's pretty weird.
No, it's not. That's so good. I love spam. Sorry.
I think we should do a dumpling variation on that with some spam in the dumpling.
Oh, we should do that.
That could be fun. Something to think
your
about.
Your next dumpling class.
Yeah, maybe. Cool. So I know that the current exhibition on food photography is at Powerhouse till the end of this week.
Yes.
What else have you got going up? Any shows?
Nothing
currently.
Much. Well, there are a couple things I'm working on that I can't say. Okay, no, seriously, because it's not. There's other people. Yeah. Stuff that I'm helping out.
Okay. Well, but you're continually adding more to the online version of the show, which is, I think, the best way to view it anyway, viewing these photography online.
Yeah. I mean,
makes it very simple.
Yeah. And it's weird seeing it on the wall.
Yeah.
All framed and.
You have to pay big. For the printing. Yeah. What's up with that?
It's very expensive.
I know. But, you know, that's the beauty. It's now that's like, it's not the only way you can see photography.
Yeah. So, the internet.
Cool. Well, keep on doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
And I hope that you'll have more to share with me on how to not get blurry shots.
Maybe
soon.
I'll teach a class.
Yeah. Maybe you'll have to teach a class soon on food photography. I would go to it. Cool. And what's the name of your website?
Foodrenaissance.com. And the other one is greatfoodphotos.com.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us, Sonny.
And thank you.
That's about all the time we got. Happy New Year once again. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. You know